non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
Like
what?
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go in the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
No, when we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High. All of you, nevertheless, like men you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. That's Psalm 82, Pastor Luke.
Nice.
There you go. It's actually a rather short psalm.
Oh, that was the whole psalm.
That's it. It's only eight verses.
Wow.
Psalm 82, just nice. Eight verses.
I like it.
Not very long.
Not very long.
So it doesn't take a lot of time to actually digest and unpack and... spend a lot of time misrepresenting.
Quick verse.
It's a quick verse.
Few friends.
little meal. Inside joke. Guys.
I don't know. Let's see what Jeff can do with it.
Yeah.
Let's see how long. Mm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How long would it take? Yeah.
Probably draw that out to get out.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Apologia Radio. This is the gospel heard around the world. I am Pastor Jeff Durbin. They call me the Ninja. That is Luke the Bear. Pastor Luke the Bear Pearson.
What up? What is this music? It's like
it's copyright free chilled. That's what it is. No. That's Joy the Girl right there.
Hello.
Hey, and if you guys haven't listened to Sheologians yet, make sure y'all get on that Sheologians at Sheologians.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it. Sheologians.com. Yep. Or you can get it at ApologiaStudios.com.
Yeah.
Just go under Sheologians. Her and Summer Yeager, they do Sheologians, and it is an excellent show. Make sure you guys go check that out. Welcome back, y'all.
It's been a while since we had the whole crew together.
I know. I was just thinking exactly that.
Yeah. Like at least I'm...
Oh, longer than a month.
A few episodes for sure. Like six or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Something.
And if you haven't heard, we are super excited about this. Joy is carrying a wonderful little baby right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited about that. Lots of prayers answered for that. And
25 weeks.
Yeah.
She moves around in there now. A lot.
Yes.
She likes to kick a lot.
I love that it's a little girl.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
So be in prayer for Joy. And hey, let's sort of get everyone plugged in. It's been crazy busy at Apologia Studios the last couple of years, but specifically the last couple of months, really busy. We just got back from Hawaii.
We're just waiting for things to calm down.
No,
and then, you know,
it doesn't.
Every time we think like, we're going to get into the groove of this and something new the Lord gives to us. So hey, thank you guys all for watching live right now across the internet. That's an important show to do today. Before we get into the meat of today's show, we wanted to do some fun stuff and sort of give you a little taste of old school Apologia Radio. Thank you guys for watching the show today. Make sure you guys share it and like everything across them, them internets and social media and everything else. We are going to be responding to some comments made by Kwaku, a Latter-day Saint, on his channel, specifically two videos. They're long videos and long rants, and we're not going to spend a lot of time really engaging in hopefully what he engaged in. But we do feel like it's necessary to respond to the public false witness.
Yeah.
There's a few things that can be cleared up.
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to say this very humbly, respectfully, but also firmly. The Word of God actually gives us a standard from Genesis to Revelation, same standard, and that is that you're not to receive an accusation against somebody unless it's on the basis of 2 to 3 witnesses.
Right.
And that is to say 2 to 3 independent lines of evidence. And that is a standard that God gives, again, from the Old Testament judicial law all the way through. You see Jesus appealing to that standard in Matthew chapter 18. He does it also elsewhere in the Gospels. You see the Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy. You see it saying, receive no accusation against an elder unless it's on the basis of 2 to 3 witnesses. That is in terms of simple justice and integrity and truth. Is we live in a fallen world, a sinful world. People make false accusations. It doesn't mean you're to receive every accusation made on the basis of 2 to 3 witnesses. It's just that you don't even receive it unless it's on the basis of 2 to 3 witnesses.
Right.
And then an investigation must be done. You must test those witnesses. You must see if that evidence is true. And I think it's important, in particular, the world that we live in with fallen people and people that are sinners, all of us are, that we actually hold to that standard and saying we're not going to receive an accusation made just because somebody says so, just on somebody's say-so. And we don't enjoy doing shows like this today in terms of refuting somebody's public false witness and a record that they've left a false witness. We'd rather it be about the theological mm-hmm. issues. And that, I think, if I can say a highlight thing as we go into the Kwaku stuff later, I want to just sort of nudge Kwaku and those who are in his camp in that direction. Allow this to be theological. Allow it to be theological as it ought to be.
Yeah.
And don't allow it to become malicious and personal as much as you're able. Now, of course, there's going to be moments where there's crossing where you hear somebody say something and you have to try to maybe at least throw out some assumptions. Well, I think maybe they're doing this or maybe they're doing that. But I think the real issues need to be tethered to Scripture. What does the Bible say? What are your theological presuppositions? And let's test those things. We try to pursue that as the main issue. There are moments where we've looked at some of what Kwaku does and we've said, I think it lacks integrity. I don't think that he's telling the truth here. We try to say, look, my only assumption is he's doing this because of this reason or that reason. But there were some pretty audacious claims made by Kwaku.
Yeah.
And I want to just say this. Kwaku has asserted that he's not going to do any more videos responding. I think that's highly convenient that you put that down and say, I'm not going to respond anymore. Because Kwaku knows that we were going to do this show and we were going to refute the false witness. He knows it because we posted under his video that we're surprised. We are very surprised that he would bear false witness against people and leave a public record of it, knowing that we have the record of our interaction. He has it, we have it. Now, what I meant by that was the emails. We have the email interaction. So we were surprised and taken aback a bit that Kwaku would leave a public record of false witness. And I just want to say, as respectfully as I can, I think it's highly convenient that he said, I will not respond any further. And as far as I'm concerned, that's fine, because what we're going to say is not based upon my own feelings, my emotions. There's no anger or animosity towards Kwaku. It's based upon the facts, based upon the evidence, based upon what actually Kwaku has himself. It's what he sent to us. And so that needs to be understood. And I just want to encourage everybody, all of us, whether you're Mormon or Christian, Latter-day Saint or Christian, I just want you to just firm up your commitments to that fundamental truth I think we can all agree on, and that's that we don't receive accusations against others unless it's on the basis of 2 to 3 witnesses or 2 to 3 independent lines of witness and testimony. And so just consider that, is that we have to be careful, especially in this day and age with social media and the ease through which anybody can just drop, you know, a claim, drop a bomb on somebody on social media. I think we have to all be willing to firm up our commitments to rigorous thought and integrity. I think it's very, very important that we do that. And I just want to say, as we get into this, that we at Apologia have always had a commitment to integrity in terms of what somebody else believes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we interact with Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or atheists, we want to interact with what they actually believe. So when we actually talk about what Mormons believe, we do it through original source documentation.
Right.
We'll say Journal of Discourses says, History of the Church says, The Book of Mormon says, or Pearl of Great Price says.
Not Walter Martin says.
Not Walter Martin says. Walter Martin, Shonuff is one of our heroes of the faith, and I am not ashamed of that whatsoever. But we do not believe what we believe about Mormonism and the corrupt theology of Mormonism, right, because Walter Martin says.
That was a claim that was made.
That was a claim that was made. Yeah, Walter Martin is a solid believer who's with the Lord now, and he did some amazing work in evangelizing and reaching the Mormon community. Mm-hmm. But what we believe about Mormonism, what we claim about Mormonism, can be demonstrated through original source documentation, not because Ed Decker says. As a matter of fact, we think that it's proper to criticize men mm-hmm. like Ed Decker when he made films like Godmakers 2, some of the outlandish things said and done. We criticize that because it shows a lack of integrity in actually representing Mormonism or Mormons in a proper way. There are times where people have made claims in content that we've created about the Mormon Church, and we never released that content, and we actually we killed it because it was false. It wasn't true about what Mormons believe, and so we said, no, we're not sharing it because we want to have integrity. We believe that even if we disagree with someone's theology, we have to have integrity about what they actually believe, what Mormon prophets have said, what they've actually stated, and what they've written.
Exactly.
You have to have integrity and go to original source documentation. Now, modern Mormons may not like some of the things that the older Mormon prophets and apostles have said. It doesn't change the fact that they've actually said it. Now, they may disagree today and say, for example, I don't agree with early Mormon prophets and apostles who taught that Jesus was the product of a sexual relationship between Heavenly Father and Mary. Doesn't change the fact that it, in fact, was taught by inspired leaders of the Mormon Church. Now, I accept the fact that modern Mormons may say, I don't accept that today. I think it's inconsistent that you don't accept it, but I'll accept that you don't personally believe that, and I won't hold you to it. But I will say Mormon prophets and apostles taught it.
Yeah.
And here's the original source documentation. So my reason for saying this is that going into this, we need to make this theological and not personal. Kwaku thought that it would be a good tactic to ignore really the substance of what Dr. White and I had done in terms of refuting his misrepresentations of ancient Christian orthodoxy and theology. He thought it'd be better to go after personalities and those sorts of things. Let me just go on record here. Kwaku, I'm much worse than you think I am. I am much worse than you think I am. God has saved a sinner. And if you knew my past and the man that I once was before God saved me, trust me, you would have a lot more to throw at me, a lot more fiery darts and arrows, believe me. But it is, I want to just say final word here, it is a tactic of Satan. It is a tactic of Satan. Yep. It always has been. And when the Bible describes Satan, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, the accuser. The devil is the accuser. And so it is a common and pithy attack of the enemy, a spiritual attack, to actually go after people and make accusations against them, their character. They did it to Jesus. It happened to Paul. It's all throughout the scriptures. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. And so it's a common spiritually dark tactic to try to just be accusatory, accuser, accuser, accuser. Now, these things are easily refutable, Kwaku, easily refutable. We're going to get to it later. But when you go to a random website on Google and look up my name, and you go to some website where you have to pay to get a report made, and it says something about 11 felony records or something like that. For the record, I've never been arrested, except one time when I was 11 years old, I was shoplifting on base in a military base, and they let me go the same day. But that's it. That's the only time. So felony records and those things, you know, if you want to go into that direction, I mean, lots of luck, my friend. But I remember one time Walter Martin was talking about how he was going to an area to teach on the Watchtower, Jehovah's Witnesses. And he comes into the area, but a couple days before, the Jehovah's Witnesses discovered that Walter Martin was coming to teach on the Watchtower. And so what they did is they actually blanketed the entire area with pamphlets about Walter Martin is possessed by a devil, that he's filled with a demon, and they blanketed the whole area. He said it was the most packed event they had ever had because, he said, people needed to come and see a 250-pound devil in the flesh.
Right, yeah. So, who doesn't want to see?
Oh, yeah. Man.
All things work together for good. We trust the Lord. We know the truth, and the Lord knows the truth. And in the end, Kwaku knows the truth.
Yeah.
Because he was a part of the interaction. And so my only real significant surprise is that you have a young man who is an intelligent man.
Mm-hmm.
He's an articulate man. He's a bright young man, that he would be willing to leave a public record of false witness that is easily refutable and will refute it. And I want to say that if we've made any mistakes or errors along the way, we would always want to own those mistakes. And we think that that's a good practice to be in. If you make a misstatement, if you get a date wrong or something like that, you need to own that. And I think it's important to do that. It glorifies God to do that. But when you actually spread blatant false witness and you're unwilling to be challenged by it, I think that is a lack of integrity. And that shows a problem in character more than anything else. All right, so just a pointer, since you're here on Apologia Studios, if you would, check out Apologia Studios. If you're here right here on YouTube or on Facebook, we released the discussion I had with Andy Stanley on the Unbelievable Radio broadcast. Encourage you guys to check that out. I think much more could be and should be done on the discussion. I'd love to do a public debate with Andy Stanley, but I think it was a really good discussion and it exposed a lot of important issues. It's about an hour and a half long, so I encourage you to go check that out. I think there's fundamental issues dealt with in that radio broadcast. One is the issue of the authority of Scripture, and two is the abiding relevance of the law of God today in the life of Christians. Mm. And so I think it'll bless you to go listen to that. But let's have some fun before we get serious. Y'all ready for this? All right, so you guys are going to go to it, too.
Oh, I'm ready.
Here, okay, she's ready.
I'm ready.
So my wife and others wanted us to watch this video.
I would say it's gone viral, but that's just because a lot of people in my Facebook feed are from Arizona.
Yeah.
So many of you need to see this video because it's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know that they would see it because I don't think it's, like, viral in the truest sense. Which is that, like,
oh, no.
It's all over the place.
If you go to YouTube, type in helicopter rescue and it comes right up.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
It's
so, yeah.
Trending.
So
right
it
now.
Is. Okay,
it's
good.
Going.
Good. So maybe you've seen it. If you haven't,
all right.
See
this,
it.
This happened here in Arizona at Piestewa Peak. Mm-hmm. Piestewa Peak.
That used to be Squaw Peak.
Oh, Squaw Peak.
Mm-hmm. Why did they change it?
Well, they wanted to change it. Piestewa, I believe that's the name of the first Native American female that died serving in the U.S. military.
Oh.
And so they did a name change. It's possible that they felt like Squaw was a little...
Okay.
Not politically correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like maybe they could come up with a better
name.
Okay.
Gotcha.
That's not what this episode's about.
This is in Scottsdale or is it? I'm trying to remember where that's at.
This is like central Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Scottsdale-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
All right. So it's titled Injured Hiker Flown Off Piestewa Peak. Helicopter rescue. This is Phoenix Fire officials say a 74-year-old woman was flown off of Piestewa Peak this morning after she suffered an injury. She was taken to a trauma center for evaluation. Now, I was told that we need to film our reaction.
Wait, Jeff has not seen this video yet.
I've seen it. Here we go. I hope this is enjoyable, although apparently it wasn't enjoyable for this person. And apparently the fact that she's 74 years old makes it all the more interesting. All right, so here we go. Okay. Oh, she's nice and snug as a bug in there, isn't she? Snug as a bug. Whoa, how's that starting to happen? What's happening? Whoa. That's intense. Oh, what is she saying right now? What is
she's probably throwing
what
up.
What is she saying?
She probably thinks they're crashing.
I wish there was a microphone attached to her so you could hear her going, oh my goodness, it's speeding up. Oh, what are they going to do to stop it? Why don't they can't put her down.
Right.
They can't put her down because she'll hit the rocks. Oh, what's the guy above her saying to her, I'm sorry. Okay, there you go. Okay, it's all done. Okay, it's fine. Wait, nope. Is she begging for mercy right now? She's
probably like, shoot, I sprained my ankle, but this is gonna be how I die.
Oh my, what's the suffering? Oh my goodness, she's speeding up. It's going faster. It's going faster. It's going so fast. What? Oh my goodness, she's going so fast right now. It's getting worse. He's trying to put his. Oh, she's going so fast. Whoa. Oh my goodness, and she's getting worse all the way down. Oh my goodness.
Why did they just put her back down?
Oh, it's going so fast.
They had her until the helicopter.
So because I think
fast. Like, is she? Oh, it's going so fast. Oh my, it's going so unbelievably fast. She's tasting what she had for dinner. Oh my goodness, how are they going to stop it? What are they going to do to stop it? What are they going to, and they keep bringing it up and down. What are they going to do?
Poor lady.
Oh, is she? Is she died? Right?
No.
She just.
Oh, they're like, just go.
We're just
like,
go.
The guy was somewhere.
Just, the guy's just like, just go, just go, just go.
She just was nauseous.
Well,
just
I think
had nausea. That was it.
I think, yeah, she was like dizzy and nauseous.
I have never seen anything like
and
that in my life.
It's gotta be because she's like so tightly packed in there. That's the only reason why nothing else bad happened.
How did she not? She had to have blacked out.
She maybe did.
Did
maybe.
You guys see First Man?
No.
No.
Oh, you haven't seen First Man?
No.
You should really see it. It's good. With Ryan Gosling, where he's, was he not Buzz Aldrin, the other guy. Oh, the brain. My brain's in Japan still.
The other
astronaut. What's his name?
Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong.
Armstrong. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
You guys didn't see that?
No.
It's actually really good.
Huh.
Anyways, it reminds me of, there's a training
thing.
Like
the G-Force training?
Yeah, and he blacks out. And that's exactly what it looked like.
Well, I think the reason why she went faster is because like the cord gets, it's like there's a toy that's like that.
Yeah.
Where you like spin the top spins yeah. on the string,
right.
and it's because it like
right.
the cord gets all twisted, and then when you pull it up,
it's
it
yeah.
like uses it to spin you even
yes.
faster.
Fidget spinners.
And so they like kept
that's
trying
what, yeah.
to like.
And just up and
like
down,
a yo-yo.
Up and down.
It's a good yo-yo trick.
Do you think at first it was like, help, and then it was just like,
Well, she probably felt like we all felt, which is that okay? Well, it can't go faster.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, you're like, oh wow, that's
it's
really
going a lot
fast.
Faster.
she's really
she
fast.
She probably couldn't even speak at that point. She was just completely silent, just going.
She had been unconscious. Like, I don't know how you could do.
I have no idea.
Man, that is one of the most intense moments, I'm sure, in her 74 years or however old she was.
Never forget that. That's
wow, cool. That is intense. Oh my goodness.
I really hope we get. I mean, she may also decide she like doesn't want anyone to know that it was her. But
hey, can we get her on the show?
I
and
do
just
hope
like,
that she comes out and like does some sort of.
What if you
like explain?
Remember the SNL skit with Will Ferrell when he was on that thing spinning in circles, and he's like talking and he just kept
yeah.
like. That's like if you try to interview
oh, yeah.
her, you try to interview her, and she's just on her own, just like in circles, like
she just spins now.
Yeah, she just everywhere
she's
she goes,
fine though.
She walks in circles everywhere. She's going into Subway to get a sandwich, and she's just spinning in circles. Well, I want to ask her like, what? But what did you see?
Right.
But what did you see? And she's like, I actually went back in time. She's like,
yeah.
I saw the shooting of Abraham Lincoln.
She actually saw Pistawa.
Yeah.
Well, she came out and she was 45.
Yeah. She's 45. She her hair got dark again.
That's incredible.
She didn't need glasses anymore. She's fine now, actually.
It's actually, I'm actually going to do it again because I want to go back another 25 years.
A couple more years.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I was going to play a clip from the old Apology Radio, but I think we're probably we're short on time. Although I'd really love to. Maybe we'll have time after this. We'll see. Okay. Ready to go? Let's do this.
Yeah.
All right. So we... again, if you guys are just getting into the broadcast for today, we are going to be responding to some comments made by Kwaku. He's a Latter-day Saint. He was part of a show that was originally called The Three Mormons. It's changed the name now. And he was on Apologia Radio on an episode. He actually contacted us. I want to just note that. He contacted us via message at Apologia Studios and organized us actually getting him out here to be a guest on Apologia Radio. And so we're going to actually go through some of the email interaction because I think it's vital. He made a lot of claims in a video response recently. And just to back everybody up, he has made some videos on the Trinity where he misrepresents what Christians have taught and believed about the Trinity for millennia. And we thought it was important to respond to that. So Dr. White and I recently on The Dividing Line did a response to some of the comments he had made. He just, I can say this as respectfully as possible. He just gets it wrong. He misrepresents what Christians actually believe. A refutation from your perspective is one thing, but misrepresenting what the person believes and then doing your refutation on the misrepresentation
right.
is called
right.
straw man
right.
argumentation. And that was the main point, really, that Dr. White and I were making as we refuted, and yes, we did. Anybody can see it. Go look up James White, Dividing Line, Kwaku. You'll see we refuted, clearly refuted, what Kwaku had been alleging about the Trinity. And we want to encourage Kwaku and others like him to think in categories. Categories are very, very important.
That's huge.
Very, very important. So his response was to do two videos they were just really slander fests.
Yeah.
That's really what it was. It was slander. It was all personal.
Yeah, there wasn't a real attempt at the theology. It was
very little interaction.
Just trying to take down character and morality. And
yeah, exactly. So we're going to respond to some of those things. And what we're going to do is try to do some biblical standards of evidence and witness here. As we respond to some of the audacious claims of Kwaku. So, first thing I'll do is I'll play. Again, we can't do all of it. There's 36 minutes on the first video and 50-some-odd minutes on the second video. So we're just going to do a couple of bullet points to show you really the lack of concern that Kwaku has for the truth and in having real integrity when he talks about what took place. I would highly encourage everybody who watches this, please, go watch, and it's titled Intense Debate with a Mormon. It's 2 hours and 28 minutes long and 33 seconds. It's an old Apologia radio episode. You guys can all catch it right here on YouTube. I would strongly urge you to go watch that entire discussion. I think anybody who watches the discussion can see from watching the discussion the level of dishonesty and really this is the lack of integrity that Kwaku has in terms of how he describes what took place in that discussion. So I will leave it to you to be the witness to the actual discussion we had. So what you need to hear is some of the background and interaction that took place, and we're going to be reading through some of that for you guys. So I'll play first. This is from his first video called Finally Responding to Dr. James White and Jeff Durbin, Part 1. Here is Kwaku.
Honestly, we want to be like apart from that. We don't want any part of that. We think it gets really petty and stuff. So we originally were like, no, we shouldn't do it. But I felt like maybe I should. I felt like it's okay if I did. Like, I felt that we should defend ourselves. But then I also realized that, like, well, if the rest of the hosts aren't going to go, then I shouldn't go and represent the show. And so our show agreed. So Saints Unscripted agreed.
Saints Unscripted is the new name
right. For
the show. It was called Three Mormons.
You go on the show, that's totally cool, but don't talk about the show because you need to represent yourself. The other hosts won't be there, and so you shouldn't speak on behalf of them. And I totally agree. I think that's totally fine. I agree. I start talking to them, and they're really nice guys, whoever I'm chatting with on the Facebook Messenger about Apologia and coming on the show. There are some complications with me actually getting to Arizona. They were so kind. They paid for my airplane ticket, and they paid for my hotel. And they got me, like, a pretty sweet hotel right near Arizona State. It was legit. It was, like, one of those, like, hipster hotels. I had, like, a guitar in it. And, like, downstairs, there's, like, a bunch of, like, people with tattoos and mustaches, like, drinking craft beer and throwing darts. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But I get a message from James White, and he's like, hey, Kwaku, thanks for agreeing to come on the show. Do you want some books of mine to prepare you for the debate? I feel like I can just go online. I can read articles about some of the stuff he's said. I can watch his stuff. He's all over YouTube, right? But I felt a little weird. He was like, I can send you some of my books to prepare you to meet me. And I was like, no, I don't really. I actually would have accepted the books. But if anyone has ever gone to BYU, you know that there's a thing called Homeless Week. Homeless Week is the worst thing ever because it's essentially most of the apartments in the Provo BYU area are BYU contracted. And so they follow BYU standards. And so there's certain rules about when people have to move out and move in. And Homeless Week just happens to be one of those things where all the apartment complexes that lease you out for a year end their leases, but they don't open their leases for the new contracts for like 3 weeks. So Homeless Week is really like a homeless week. It's like up to 3 weeks where people don't have a home. So they either like go to their parents' house, wherever else in Utah or Colorado or Idaho or Arizona, or there are a couple of their friends that do have a place that don't have to get kicked out. You, like, sleep on their couch. I was, like, sleeping on my buddy's couch for, like, 2 weeks because of Homeless Week. So I didn't have anywhere for him to send the books. That was my long way of saying that. I was like, yeah, no, I'll find it online. Like, there's no way you can send me the books right now because it's Homeless Week. It's kind of a weird concept, but whatever. I start watching some of his stuff. I read some of his stuff. And then I go to Arizona. I go to Tempe, Arizona. It was a fine trip. It was great. It was wonderful getting there. I get to the Phoenix Airport, I believe, Phoenix or Tempe Airport. I get to one of the airports, and they send a guy, I think it's Pastor Zach, to come pick me up from the airport, which is super cool because I didn't have to Uber to wherever and find them, you know. And he's like this really serious dude. He's like,
sorry, this part made me laugh so hard.
We start talking.
Okay, so let's just pause there for a second. You can take Kwaku's explanation or characterization of Pastor Zach, or you can take the characterization of everybody who actually knows Pastor Zach.
That was a surprising characterization for me.
I'm he's not a gonna super, lie. He's a laughed. Super. He's a super serious dude.
I laughed really hard when I heard this, and I immediately messaged Zach and I was like, "You have to listen to this part right now."
I hadn't. This is the first time I had heard him say that, and it's just funny.
So
Zach did my marriage counseling.
Yeah,
and I would say. He's not
would
super serious.
Would serious be how you describe Pastor Zach?
Not really. But I guess maybe in that situation, I've never had him pick me up from the airport as a stranger. I don't know.
Well, you could take Kwaku's characterization, his single witness, his own witness of Pastor Zach, or you could take the witness of the hundreds of people at Apologia Church that know him, who have done counseling with him. You can ask his children if he's a very serious person, and I'll tell you that he's one of the least serious people that I know or takes himself seriously. I will tell you that Pastor Zach wanted us to convey this, that he actually wanted very, very much to love Kwaku and be gracious to him and to be sweet to him. And so he actually made sure that that was a part of his connection with Kwaku. And he fundamentally denies what Kwaku says here about him. And I'll let you hear it.
Tempe and Arizona State. And I'm like, yeah, you know, Arizona State, crazy. It's a big party school. This guy holding the steering wheel keeps driving straight face, looks at me and goes, yep, there is a lot of fornication. I'm just like...
Did
that really happen, though?
Pastor Zach denies it. He says the one thing that they talked about with ASU is Planned Parenthood. Pastor Zach says that he did mention that Planned Parenthood...
Did he do it in a Southern accent?
Yeah. There sure is a lot of fornication there. Yeah, just so you know, Pastor Zach is not from the South. So that characterization in itself is interesting. But Pastor Zach did say that he did mention that Planned Parenthood, he mentioned the ministry we have, and Planned Parenthood has a facility next to the female dorm, and there's a lot of abortions that take place there. He did mention that, but he fundamentally denies Kwaku's characterization of his spirit towards Kwaku, his overall spirit of seriousness.
I'm sure there's a lot of fornication that happens.
That is true, but
they do fornicate. Like, what am I supposed to say to that? Anyway, I get to their studio, gives me a card for $70 on it, which had some food, but also, like, low-key my payment for coming on the show. My hotel...
I wouldn't have asked to be paid to be on your show, and we weren't paying you to be on our show. We wanted to bless you, so we picked the hotel that was closest to the studio. It was a nice place. We want to make sure we took care of you and give you a nice place to stay because we wanted to be a blessing to you. And we gave you per diem for food for all the time that you were going to be here to make sure that we fed you and cared for you. So we took care of Kwaku's flight. We gave him a nice place to stay, and we gave him a card for expenses in terms of his food so he wouldn't have any out-of-pocket expenses coming to do the show with us. So that's what that looked like.
It's super cool. They were super nice at first. We only talked a little bit. Their set was very interesting. So you go in the back and they have like a little talk show set up with a desk, and then they had like this empty room, and then there are posters all over the wall. The lighting is like darker and there's posters all over the wall, and maybe it looked like they were still constructing. I don't know. The only like Christian thing I saw was this little bookcase with a couple Bibles and apologetic books, but everything else was like movie posters and stuff.
Okay. So for the record, those three movies right there are all Christian movies.
Right.
And especially the one that says Calvinist.
In big letters.
This big. It's definitely a Christian movie. Now behind me, we have Babies. Oh, that's also a Christian movie.
Yeah.
And The Apostle might as well be a Christian movie because the gospel's in there a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And that one's not.
Yeah. So, Gentleman Broncos is just a weird film that we like.
Yeah.
And
so, anyways.
Where they're hussies. It's just a good. Like, the director of Napoleon Dynamite made Gentleman Broncos.
It's just, I think the point is, it's just kind of a weird thing.
It's a weird thing to notice.
Like, I guess he's just talking about like his overall experience.
Yeah,
but I guess based off of what some of the untrue stuff that he says later kind of makes it seem like it's a little bit of like a critique.
Like a critique,
or,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, when you hear it all together, it sort of goes, well, yeah, how's that coming off?
And we have several bookcases with lots of Christian books.
Well, and in terms of like a construction site, like this is just how sets look.
Yeah.
Like the part you see on the...
It's not our
like
dorm,
on camera looks very nice yeah. And then yeah. The rest
you don't
typically
see what's, you don't see what's around yeah. The cameras right yeah. Now yeah.
Yeah, it's very sort of construction-y yeah. Looking yes. Yeah. That's just kind of how
that's
it
right.
Is
anyways
because we have limited but, space too
yeah.
So
we're,
at any
yeah,
point,
we're not
any rate.
Trying to be like yeah he yeah
no, not being hypercritical here, but it just seems like an odd thing to say or notice. Yeah. He
paints a picture later on that's not totally honest, and so we might be a little bit just aware of stuff that he's saying that's not totally
right,
like accurately right. Characterizing.
Yeah, like Pastor Zach.
Yeah, that's it just it's kind
maybe
of a weird thing to
now,
say.
But that's like what I saw. But I talked about just
changed.
For a little
it's
bit, go over roughly what it's gonna, what the exchange is gonna be like. And I also reminded him that I'm only representing me. I'm not representing three Mormons. I'm only representing me. And he agreed. And in the Facebook messages, we talked about that, like, I'm only representing me. I'm not representing three Mormons. I'm not gonna bring up three Mormons. We're not gonna talk about three Mormons.
All right, first thing to talk about there. First and foremost, yes, and we're going to go through the messages. You did mention that you're not representing three Mormons, and that was very, very clear. Did you hear what Kwaku just said? I will play it again so you can hear him with his own words.
Three Mormons. I'm only representing me. And he agreed. And in the Facebook messages, we talked about that, like, I'm only representing me. I'm not representing three Mormons. I'm not going to bring up three Mormons. We're not going to talk about three Mormons. Just me.
So he's not going to bring up three Mormons. So we made it clear in what we put out about Kwaku being on the show and in the show itself that we dropped, we made it clear that Kwaku was representing himself and not yeah. The show Three Mormons. He just said that he wasn't going to bring up Three Mormons, that that's his claim, that he said, I'm not going to bring up Three Mormons. Kwaku is not going to bring up Three Mormons. So I want to play for you guys so you can hear with your own ears Kwaku's own words. This is in the first few minutes of the broadcast itself. I wanted you guys to hear it with your own words. He claims that he wasn't going to bring up three Mormons. And so I want you guys just to hear Kwaku with his own words. You don't have to go far and wide to find this. If you would have listened to the show, you would have heard it really in the first 3 minutes.
It's very good. So special guest today from Salt Lake City. Honored to have him with us today. We were able to get him out. I flew in yesterday and leaving, actually turning back around. Yeah. This afternoon, and his name is Kwaku.
Yes.
Actually, you have a number of names, to tell the truth, but Kwaku
yeah,
is one
so
of them.
I have a very long name, but Kwaku L. I do the show Three Mormons, however.
Don't!
So, Kwaku, who mentioned Three Mormons? You did. You mentioned it. You mentioned the Three Mormons. And I think that it's so important for us to actually make sure that that is clear, and I will play it again so you can hear yourself.
Very good. It's very good. So special guest today from Salt Lake City. Honored to have him with us today. We were able to get him out. I flew in yesterday and leaving, actually turning back around this afternoon. And his name is Kwaku.
Yes.
Actually, you have a number of names, to tell the truth, but Kwaku is one
so
of them.
I have a very long name, but Kwaku L. I do the show Three Mormons. However, I can't represent Three Mormons
right.
Just because the other hosts, we have different views on things. So I'm here representing myself.
So what did I say when you said you can't represent Three Mormons? I said right. Mm-hmm. But when you said in your video where you were slandering us and bearing false witness, you said not going to bring up Three Mormons, like that was the thing. But you actually, Kwaku, you're the one that brought it up. You said that you're with three Mormons, you've got three Mormons, but you're not representing them. And I said to you, right. And the reason is because in all of our interaction and everything we put up, we made that clear. I'll give you an example. This video itself, it says intense debate with a Mormon. You guys can all look it up for yourself. Intense debate with a Mormon. The description goes like this. Jeff Durbin and James White dialogue with Kwaku, a Mormon. The conversation ranges from can men become gods to Calvinism and predestination. You can get more at Apologia Studios, and then there's all the links. Nothing in there about three Mormons. We didn't, in the description, talk about with the three Mormons. We didn't put it in the title of the video. We actually kept our word. But it goes deeper than that. Not only did you bring up Three Mormons, and I said, right, that, and that you would not be representing their position, which is what we understood that you'd be saying, you brought it up, not us. And again, anybody can see that in the first few minutes, and so that's immediately refuting his claims. Mm. When you listen to his video, he makes the claim that we said that we weren't going to mention Three Mormons. Again, you brought it up. We didn't do anything in the titles or descriptions about Three Mormons, but you make it sound like we threw like a fastball at you. Like all of a sudden it was about Three Mormons.
He actually says that you lied to him.
Yeah, when in reality, Kwaku, we kept our word. We made it clear that you weren't representing the show. You're the one that brought up the Three Mormons. We didn't throw a curveball at you. It was understood that you had done the Three Mormons show. You mentioned it, but that you were representing yourself. And that was all that was understood between us. So I'm going to actually read through our email interaction. Now, some of this might be belabored, but I want to make sure I read it through to everybody who's watching right now. This was the start of our interaction with Kwaku. I think you all need to hear it. Kwaku goes on later to make the claim, and I'm going to go ahead and say this up front now so you can start to contextualize this now. He makes the claim a little bit later that that we had agreed that this would be a discussion or debate between Kwaku and Dr. White. My answer to that is patently false. Absolutely false. Nobody made that claim. There's nothing that sounds like that. There's nothing in our history or interaction that was even remotely close to that understanding. Kwaku.
So you didn't say that you were going to be the moderator?
I never said I was going to be the moderator. And you can see that really in the opening of this discussion right here. I want to say this again with as much humility and respect to Kwaku as I can possibly muster up. Kwaku, you are being dishonest here. You know, and I know, and God knows, and the evidence demonstrates that you are being dishonest here. Nothing in our interaction said anything about this being me, the moderator, and you and Dr. White talking to one another. That was never suggested. It was never intimated. Nothing sounds even remotely like that. And so I'm going to go ahead and start reading the interaction now that you guys all heard that. I want you to think through that as I'm reading through the interaction. You're going to get it all right now. This is from Kwaku, and this 8:15:18 at 9:54 a.m. Hey there, I'm one of the hosts of Three Mormons. How are you starting this discussion with us?
Right.
So, Kwaku, when you tell everybody that we threw like a fastball at you, we weren't honest with you and all the rest. First of all, we can refute that easily with the evidence. You're the one that brought it up. But in your start to interaction with us, you're talking about you're the one of the Three Mormons. And of course, later you say that you're representing yourself, and we honored that completely. You're the one that brought it up in the show. Hey there, I'm one of the hosts of Three Mormons, the YouTube channel you've recently posted a few videos about. If your hosts are interested in having an on-air discussion, about these gospel topics with me, I think it would be a good way to get closure as well as balance. Thanks. So I'm going to read it again. If your hosts, Kwaku, are interested in having an on-air discussion about these gospel topics with me, I think it would be a good way to get closure as well as balance. So you mentioned you're with Three Mormons. We still honored the fact that you weren't representing them. And you mention it on the show, and you say in your interaction with us, the very first thing you say is, if your hosts, plural, are interested in having an on-air discussion about these gospel topics with me, I think it would be a good way to get closure as well as balance. Here's what we got. You got an automated response, because we can't get to all our messages. Thanks for messaging us, blah, blah, blah. And then our actual response. Thank you so much, Kwaku. Are you interested in having Dr. White and Jeff, the hosts of our episode, on your channel for your show or on ours? So again, I'm gonna read that one more time so that it's clear. Thank you so much, Kwaku. Are you interested in having Dr. White and Jeff, the hosts of our episode, on your channel for your show or on ours? Here's Kwaku's response. I'm interested in coming on your show. Our producers don't unanimously agree on having you on ours, so the best option is that I would go down to Arizona and meet you. So let's just consider that in terms of the evidence itself. The evidence in terms of 2 to 3 eyewitnesses. We have multiple eyewitnesses to our interaction with you, but here is the witness of your actual interaction with us, Kwaku. It's on record, and that's one of the things that I said to you under your video, is that I am very surprised that you would actually give a public record of false witness, given the fact that you know and we know what was actually said, and here's the record. We have our actual interaction. It's in stone. We've got it. It's unavoidable. You can't change history, Kwaku. And so, again, it starts with the hosts of the show. We mention the hosts, Dr. White and Jeff Durbin. That's what was stated. That's what the commitment was. So I say back to you, sounds great, Kwaku. Would you be available sometime in the last week of August? This is Jeff. I was alerted to your message. I am teaching in Canada all of next week. So the next week would work best. We'd be honored to put you up in a nice hotel and take care of your food while you are here. Again, nothing there about paying you for the episode. That was for your food. So you say back to us, Kwaku, the last week of August should work. I would need to check a few things and lodging would be very appreciated. I'll get back to you later tonight to solidify. I said, sounds great, Kwaku. Next, on 8/15/18 at 7:07 p.m., he says, okay, so I can go. I just have to make clear that I am not speaking on behalf of the entire cast, only me. So he says, would Friday the 31st be an acceptable day for you? There's an automated response. Thanks for messaging us. And then we respond back. Hey, Kwaku, thanks for the message. Just waiting for an answer and we'll get back. Pretty sure that will work. Are you thinking you'll arrive the day before and be available for that Friday morning? Or do you want to do it later in the day? Okay, we're all set for the 31st. Just let us know how you would like to organize regarding the timing. We can book you a nice place to stay while you're here. We would love the opportunity to bless you and take care of you while you are with us. So he says back to us, thank you for your Christian hospitality. For safety while driving, I'll be attending with one or two friends. We'll be driving to Arizona Thursday evening, so we'll be able to do the show on Friday. Excellent. Can we have your email? Yes. And he gives us his email. Then he says, 8/27/18 at 11:51 a.m. Jeff, just checking in here and information about the 31st. Are you still good to go? Would a reschedule work better? And then there's the automated response. Thanks for messaging. And then I say this. We're good to go, Kwaku. We'll figure out the hotel info. Do you need it for Thursday night or for Friday? And so that is the discussion that we had. Let me just click on this real fast here. I'm going to actually recycle this. For some reason, it froze up there. I'll get back to Kwaku here. Forgive me, guys, for the delay here. So as you can see, there's nothing there in that discussion that says anything about me moderating a discussion at all between Kwaku and Dr. White. So here we go. I'm figuring out, okay, thanks for mentioning, where am I? Excellent. Okay, email. Okay, we're good to go, Kwaku. We'll figure out the hotel info. Do you need it for Thursday or Friday night? He says, am figuring out that out this moment. However, I just ran into a problem. Our driver may or may not be backing out and won't know until tomorrow if he can go, which would put a major hole in these plans. I hate being wishy-washy and wasting anyone's time because I do think this is a meaningful dialogue. Are you all right with letting me fill you in tomorrow on the whereabouts of the situation? And then automated response, thanks for messaging. And then we say, as soon as possible, please, we can purchase a plane ticket for you. So we offer to buy the ticket. He says, oh, that would be incredibly appreciated. And so I say, which airport? He says, Salt Lake City International Airport is best. By the way, you can use the name. He gives me his full name. He says, again, thank you. Is there anything I can do for you or apology in return? And so then I say back to him, your presence is the gift, my friend. I'll need your date of birth too. And then he gives that. And so I said, hey, Kwaku, would this flight schedule work? And I run down some flight schedules for him. He says, yes, this looks great. So I said, excellent. We can get it booked and get back with you to confirm. It's booked. What's your email address? We'll forward it. We'll forward you the official flight info. He gives us his email address. I said, forwarded it to you. He says, great. I got it. Thanks, Jeff. Do you want to plan the topics conversation, the topic conversation right before the live show or the day before? I said, we can chat about it tomorrow if you like. Can you give me your number so we can have a way to contact you when you land? We'll take care of your transportation, hotel, and food. He says, sure. He gives me his number. He says, hey there, just landed in Phoenix. Sweet. I said, our guy picking you up will call you in just a sec. That was that really serious guy, Pastor Zach. I said, hey, Kwaku, the number you gave us is going to someone else. Here is Pastor Zach's number. He's picking you up. Can you call him now? He says, bizarre, but it all worked out. I said, our driver is there to pick you up. He said, wonderful. Is it Zach? I said, no, Daniel. I think that was the taking him back to the airport is what it was. And end of message stream. Now, I know that's, you know, hard to sit and listen to me read through all these texts, but I wanted everyone to hear it. That's the message thread that we had with Kwaku. And respectfully, what in there intimated in any way that I was going to be moderating the discussion between you and Dr. White and actually supports your false claim that I jumped into the discussion and somehow interrupted a commitment that we had. There was no commitment whatsoever that I was moderating a discussion on my own show when you asked to have a discussion. I'll read it again. If your hosts are interested in having an on-air discussion about these gospel topics with me, I think it would be a good way to get closure. And then I say, thank you so much, Kwaku. Are you interested in having Dr. White and Jeff, the hosts of our episode, on your channel for your show or on ours? I'm interested in coming on your show. So, fully refuted, absolute false witness. Kwaku, respectfully, you lied. You lied and left a public record of lies that there was an agreement that I'd be moderating a discussion between Dr. White and you. All anyone would have to do, Kwaku, is see this. And that's why I want to say this. It was so shocking to me when I heard the claims you were making, because I thought to myself, Kwaku does remember that we emailed, that we text messaged, we had text messages back and forth, that there's a record of this. Kwaku, you may have thought that you could get away with making these claims and that nobody was ever going to challenge you on it. But respectfully, we want to stick to the theology, but if you're going to bear false witness publicly, we'll refute it with the evidence. I think that it's a sad thing that you'd be willing to leave a record for your own character that's a lack of integrity by making the claims you have when there is the evidence that anyone can see. One more thing regarding this. When we posted, I want to read it to you guys right now. You can all look back at Apologia Studios history. Look at it for yourself. Don't merely receive the claim of Kwaku. Go look at the evidence itself. On Apologia Studios, August 17th, 2018. Just go back through the history. This is on Facebook. I said, very exciting news. Kwaku, one of the hosts of the Three Mormons, contacted us and wants to have a discussion on Apologia Radio. The plan is to have him on Apologia on August 31st. Pastor Jeff and Dr. James White will spend time conversing with Kwaku about Mormonism and the biblical gospel. Make plans. A big thank you to Kwaku for making a connection with us and for his desire to talk. Note. Kwaku wants us to make it clear that he will be representing himself when he joins us. We honored that.
Yeah.
That you were representing yourself. Now, again, if you have a problem with that, then what's with this next comment? Because this is what you commented under. Thank you for extending the invitation. My only complaint about this post is that this may be the most unflattering picture of me on the internet. My only complaint about this post is that this may be the most unflattering picture of me on the internet. Kwaku, you just have to own the fact here that you are being dishonest. You are misrepresenting what actually took place. And here's the problem. There is a history here, and there is evidence that anybody can see with their own eyes. Now, the fact that you have now said that you're no longer going to respond to what we say, again, is a little bit suspicious, considering the fact that you knew that we were going to actually refute your claims. And here's the most important element of it, okay? When you've made claims about Jeff was supposed to, he was supposed to be a moderator between Dr. White and me, you know, I wasn't going to mention Three Mormons when you mentioned it yourself. Here's the thing. Kwaku, in the end, the most important element here is this, is God knows the truth, and you know the truth, and we know the truth. And so that's the most important element here. To us, it's important to think about what happened to Jesus. All kinds of false accusations are made against Jesus. People actually lied about Jesus in court. You had people bearing false witness and slander against Jesus. And it says in Peter gives you insight as to what was going on with Jesus. And he says this, he says, he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. So when false claims are made about us, that's what we want to do, is we want to ultimately follow his example and say, I'm going to entrust myself to him who judges righteously. And here's the thing, Kwaku, again, God knows, you know, and we know the truth. We know that you're lying. You know that you're lying. God knows that you're lying. But in this case, there's also a trail of evidence right underneath us that shows you're lying. Mm. You bore false witness and slandered. And now that you now are committing to not even respond, I think, again, that's suspicious. And in the end, if that's where you want to leave it, that's fine. We leave it to God who judges righteously and to the evidence itself.
Amen.
So then his next piece, I'll play quickly, try to get through this as fast as possible. Here is his claim again in the same video, part one, finally responding to Dr. James White and Jeff Durbin.
Talking for 10 minutes, and he starts saying that, you know, there's no other gods beside me and all that stuff, and that's what the Bible says, and so Mormons are wrong. So I give historical context. I show that other ancient cultures from the time period of Isaiah use the same kind of language of no other gods beside me in their polytheistic religions to make the case that it's a more complex than just saying this is black and white, no other gods beside me before me, because first we have to define God, and first we have to ask why these other cultures are using this kind of language. Right when I bring that up, he gets mad. Immediately goes, that's a very common mythology. And he immediately gets mad. And
yeah, anybody challenge you, just go watch it. Go watch Intense Debate with a Mormon, and go watch and see if Dr. White got mad.
Yeah.
It's just slander is all it is. Kwaku is you did a lot of things here, and I don't think we have it pulled up here, but I'll just go ahead and respond to it. You made all kinds of claims here about someone getting mad or somebody threatening you. They were just untrue. And I would encourage everybody to go through it. Watch me and my interaction with Kwaku. Just watch me and see if there's any moment you can see where actually I'm threatening Kwaku. It's just pure slander. It's just false witness. It's just lies you have to own, Kwaku. Kwaku mentions here that Dr. White got mad. He did not get mad. Disagreeing with what you say, calling something mythology, is not him getting mad.
Mm.
The tone of the debate changes, and then Jeff Durbin gets involved, and it becomes 2-1. When it's supposed to be 1-1 with one person moderating, it became 2-1. So then again, we'd already...
Nope. False witness. Again. Lies. That's all you can say about it, Kwaku, as simple as possible. It's just a lie. Nothing in our interaction that's recorded there shows anything remotely like I was going to moderate while you did a debate with Dr. White. And nothing in our personal interaction intimated that whatsoever. And you know that as well as we know that. And again, God knows the truth, and the evidence refutes your claim. Dr. White did not get mad. I was not supposed to moderate a discussion between you and Dr. White. That was never stated anywhere. There was nothing that even sounded like that. And here's why. We never would have made that commitment to you because that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what we agreed to in the discussion itself. It's not what you said you wanted to happen. And again, there's a record of it. But also, you made a claim here in this video, and I invite anybody to go listen to and make the claim. He made a claim that said that at some point I pulled out, where does it say that?
Yeah.
And I like nudged it over to him, and I like gave him like a threatening look, like, don't you dare talk about it or we'll do this. Kwaku, the where does it say that I have is photocopies of the actual documents themselves of Journal of Discourses, History of the Church. It has a vast selection of different topics from Brigham Young, Joseph Smith, Orson Pratt, Orson Hyde, just a ton of stuff in there. Stuff on Joseph Smith's King Follett Discourse, Brigham Young calling his sermon scripture, anything like that at all. And so if I pulled out, where does it say that? I had it with me. I had it with me to demonstrate original source documentation.
Right.
So if I pulled it out, I assure you I wasn't threatening you with it. Like,
right.
Don't you dare talk about something. It's just lies. It's false witness. And anybody who's a witness to my life, my character, my behavior knows. I would never do something like that to you. And so this is just something that's in your head. It's a claim that you're making, and it's slanderous.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. It's slanderous. And I challenge anybody to go ahead and, again, watch that whole discussion and look for what Kwaku claims took place, and you'll see that it, in fact, did not take place. See if there's anything else here.
Agreed that I'm only representing me, so we're not bringing up Saints Unscripted. James White knew that. Jeff Durbin knew that. That was the agreement.
Except you brought it up. Except you brought it up in the first couple of minutes of the show. You brought mm-hmm. it up and said, clarified, I'm not representing them. That was our understanding as well, is that you've done Three Mormons, but you would not personally be representing the Three Mormons on the show. And again, Kwaku, you're the one that brought it up. Anybody can watch it for themselves, see with their own eyes, listen with their own ears. You're the one that brought it up. But in terms of us in the discussion referring to things that you've said, it's not wrong for us to say in your video of your testimony, you made the claim. Now, that can't be hands off because this is something you've put out into the world on the internet as your own testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you've made a claim about the Trinity, on the Three Mormon show, we're actually interacting with what you have said in the public square, in the public domain. The fact that it's on Three Mormons is irrelevant to us. It's the fact that you actually have made the statements publicly that are in error. And so for us, it wasn't about, as of the Three Mormons, you said, for us, it was about you've made the claim. Nothing was said in our discussions that we wouldn't mention things that you've said on the internet. If you've made an error, we were going to deal with that error. And as a matter of fact, when you contacted us, you talked about having a discussion around these issues. Around what issues? Around the issues surrounding the original video Dr. White and I did on your right. claims. And so you wanted to have a hosts plural discussion about these issues. What issues? The issues that you have brought to the forefront in your public videos. And so again, Kwaku, you brought it up that you were with the Three Mormons. We made it abundantly clear that you were not representing their position. And so what you're doing here is just simply slanderous and it's dishonest. All right.
Just keep going.
All right. I'm done here. I mean, that's all I had all right. to pull. You
give
have
me
more
your,
over here.
I'm going to have to steal your.
Oh, that's right. You're going to have to pull on. This and we're bootlegging it today.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, so this I have the second video pulled up, a bunch of little spots. We'll try to go quickly here, and I'll say the first video, it seemed like he tried to at least interact with some theology. You know, again, we can get in there could be a whole discussion about category errors, which we don't have time for today, but
we did that on Dr. White's show.
Yeah, there's plenty of those. You know, but then the second one, it just seemed like he just, it was all, I'm just going to tear apart their character and morality, and there's nothing theological in it whatsoever. Anyways, so here is, I think this was the one spot where he's talking about the importance of having a good moral character.
Okay, play that.
Okay, here we go.
I ultimately believe that truth matters. I believe that people can disagree on theology. I think that people can have totally different viewpoints politically, but I think there's a journalistic integrity into representing a movement or a philosophy or anything like that. And if your moral character is off, I think people deserve to know where they're getting their standards of morality from. So if you have someone who's teaching you these standards of morality and they're claiming that they're doing it from the Bible, okay. But if they're behaving in a way that is kind of, you know, inappropriate to say the least, I think people should know. I want you to tell your story.
Okay.
So answer the fool according to their folly. Yeah. Answer the fool according to their folly. Kwaku, if that's your standard, if that's your standard right there in terms of when someone has a lack of integrity, when they talk about things, then you fall by on your own sword because you have demonstrated repeatedly through these videos that you have a lack of moral character. Now, we don't want to go there in terms of making that the substance of our conflict with you. We want it to be about the theology. And there's nothing that you can demonstrate whatsoever in our entire history in terms of what the claims we make about Mormonism, that we are not having integrity when we are representing what your church teaches, and that's the issue for us. But you've already demonstrated, as we've shown in this show thus far, that you do have a lack of integrity when you're talking about interactions with us. You made claims that are in fact untrue, easily refuted with the evidence that you hold in your hands as well, Kwaku.
Yep. So by the way, that was about 14:30 minute mark for the first or second video. So I'm going to go back now. This is at the 1:50 mark. And I will say one thing that was hard to watch is when you're critiquing someone and you're trying to, even if you're trying to take down their moral character, you should never make assumptions about their motives and intentions. And this second video is full of that. And if you guys are watching this, we haven't done that once. I'm not going to make an assumption as to what your motives were, Kwaku. And so this second video is full of that. And I would definitely encourage you not to do that in the future because it doesn't help your cause. Anyways, this here is at 1:50 in the second video.
Kwaku, well, everything else he was just saying was a lie. He's just a liar, okay? I suspect that every interaction I had with them when I met James White and Jeff Durbin at Apologia, I suspect that everything was recorded. But when I got off the airplane and met them in the studio, when I met Jeff Durbin for the first time, I suspect that was recorded. And my entire time with them in the interview beforehand, when James White and I spoke about LGBT people, into the entire interview and afterward, I suspect all of that was recorded as well. So what I think they're gonna do is they're gonna go on The Dividing Line or Apologia, and they're gonna play parts of the audio as if they have it, and they're going to comment on that. but I challenge them to upload all of it. I challenge them to upload all of it so you can hear everything that went down, so you know for a fact, you know as your own witness that I have told the truth, that James White and I did talk about LGBT people, that he did blame the gay kids who committed suicide. You will hear that there is eventually an agreement that we would not talk about Saints Unscripted on their show. You will hear.
So, go ahead.
Well, so I wish we had.
Yeah.
I wish we had audio recording of the very limited, very, very, very limited moments of conversation we had before the show and after the show. I just think that that would be a wonderful thing if we had it. We don't. I suspect that the reason he's bringing this to the front is because of my comment under his video that I was surprised that he would leave a record of public false witness, as he did when he has the record of interaction. Maybe he thought we meant we actually recorded the interaction.
Right.
What I meant by that was that we have the text messages back and forth, which refute clearly your claims. Completely. I read through them all. We can post them for people to see themselves. There is just nothing in there that supports your claims. It actually refutes your claims. I wish we had an audio recording because it would only buttress the point that no discussions were had about me moderating a discussion between James White and Kwaku. And again, Kwaku, you brought up Three Mormons. It was you who brought it up, not us. You brought it up, and we made it abundantly clear in all of our public interaction that you are representing yourself as a Mormon and not the Three Mormons, which is what you in fact said on our show yourself. You introduced that. So we kept our commitments and we made sure that was clear. And so
okay. Yeah, so this is moving on then to 424.
What's up? I'm about to bring forward. These folks are Calvinists. They believe in predestination. Oh, and by the way, the article I wrote about predestination, which will be in the link below, they never disproved it or refuted it. And in fact...
Yes, we did.
No, we did. And hold on, real fast. Anybody can go watch the video for yourself. We did refute it, clearly refuted it. And I would encourage anybody who hears him make that claim... Go watch the video. Go watch the video where we talked about his article. And yes, we did, in fact, refute all of your claims. And you did display in that article ignorance about the reform position. If I'll be honest, if I was in your shoes, Kwaku, I mean this sincerely, I would take the article down because it leaves, in fact, another public witness of your lack of journalistic integrity of representing what other people actually believe. So I personally, if I was in your shoes, had made the kind of errors about Mormon theology that you made about Reform theology, I would take it down. If I showed that kind of ignorance about what someone believes, I would take it down. And that's just my own perspective on it, but you were in fact refuted.
Yeah, I'll keep right here.
In which they refute my article. The top comment is of someone saying, "You didn't actually refute this. You just talked around it in circles." These people believe that God predestines everything to happen, that nothing happens outside of his power. They would say nothing happens outside of his sovereignty or something along those lines, that nothing happens outside of his power. Everything happens because he caused it. He's the cause of all things.
Pause there.
They don't.
What do we believe about the sovereignty of God? Yeah, we believe what the Bible says. And there are things that you can't in your theology hold together, Kwaku. For example, before the mountains are born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, Psalm 90, verse 2. Kwaku, you don't believe that. Mormonism denies that. So we believe that about God in terms of who God is. But it goes on. It says in the Bible, and you can go look up all these references. We can go on for days with this. In terms of God knowing all things, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. Psalm 147:5. That's not the Mormon God. I make known the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46:10. I make known the end from the beginning. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Hebrews 4:13. That God knows absolutely everything. And then you can go into God owning all things. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it in on the water. Psalm 24:1-2. God rules over everything. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. Psalm 29:10. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things, and your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. 1 Chronicles 29:11 through 12. And here are some verses in light of all those truths of God being the ruler of all, the everlasting God, knowing all things, controlling all things. Here it is. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Job 42:2. The Lord does whatever he pleases in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and in all their deeps. Where? In heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps. He does whatever he pleases. Psalm 135:6. The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on earth, in the seas and all the their depths. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. That's the sovereign God of the Bible. That's not Kwaku's God. The sovereign God of the Bible is the one who declares the end from the beginning, and he works everything towards his proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. God in the Bible is absolutely sovereign. He predestines all things. All things work together for good for those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. That's what the Bible says about God. So yes, we believe in that God, Kwaku, for sure.
So for sake of time, he goes on here to say, in that response show that we did, someone had sent us an article post the show with Dr. White that he actually wrote in March. We missed the date. We were under the impression that he had just written it. And we're going to own that. We missed the date on that, and so we accuse him of not listening to us.
Yeah.
We had thought that you had done the interview and then he had come out with an additional article.
That's not how it went.
So we missed that. It was a small chunk on the show. We missed it. Well, and up to that, we apologize, Kwaku. We missed that. That being said, we still spent the whole show refuting what you said. That didn't change what you said. And you still, to this day, still say those same things. So you still are repeating the things that you've been corrected on, despite the dating of that article.
Right.
But we want to own up where we're wrong.
We mischaracterized when that article came out.
Yeah, it wasn't written after his show with us. It was written before.
Yep.
I think maybe Zach had said on the show that it was written. He thought that it was written. Maybe we all did. I don't even know. But the point is that if we make a mistake like that on a date of an article, we'll own it. We were wrong. And there was an error made there, and we happily, humbly own that. However, it doesn't change the substance of anything, Kwaku, because your article was fully refuted, and as Pastor Luke has said, you continue today, to this day, to misrepresent Christian theology and what Reformed folks believe.
Yep.
There's a long history here, Kwaku, that you have not studied, and it's clear in all that you say. And so, again, the dating issue, we say, we got that wrong. We'll own that for sure. We made an error, and we would want to correct that. But it doesn't change the substance of the problem.
And so I think this will be the last clip we have time to get to. There's so much more. We can't even begin to touch everything. But this is the one that was just laughable. Is this about me? Yeah, that just really shows, Kwaku, your lack of integrity. And so I'll just play it.
Okay.
This is at 5:18.
So we're going to examine Jeff Durbin for a second, and then we're going to examine James White. So when you think about if you're really going to trust these people, look into their moral character. Look into the kind of people they are. This is what Jeff Durbin has said about women who get abortions.
You see absolutely no difference between a mother killing her teenage son and a mother getting an abortion.
No. No difference. I think that anybody that severs the head and arms and legs off of a baby girl should receive the death penalty.
The death penalty. Now, let's not be mistaken. I am pro-life. I consider myself to be pro-life.
Can I pause there for a second? Quickly, the reason why I make that claim is because I believe the Bible.
Right.
Let that hang for a second.
Right.
Because I believe God's word. And God's word says, you shall not murder. And then God actually tells people from Genesis through Revelation that the penalty for unjustified killing of other human beings is the death penalty. That is a standard that exists before what God says to Moses. It exists all the way back in the time of Noah. It exists when what he told Moses, unjustified killing of human beings, it deserves the death penalty with two or three witnesses. And then you see that actually happening as well in the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul is on trial in the book of Acts. And when he's being accused, he says this: if I have done anything worthy of death, Acts 25, if I have done anything worthy of death, I do not object to dying. Here's the Apostle Paul, post-cross, post-resurrection, post-ascension, saying, while accusations are being made in court, very Jewish accusations, if I've done anything worthy of death, then I don't object to dying. That's the Apostle Paul's perspective, that there are things that are worthy of death, the death penalty. Mm. And one of those things, throughout the scriptures, is the unjustified killing of a human being, right, is worthy of the death penalty. I believe it can be demonstrated from scripture and from science that what's in the womb from the moment of conception is a unique human being. And I do believe that a mother or father who actually kills a human being, their own child, are committing murder. And if you ask the question, well, what ought to be the penalty for murder? I want to say we ought to not look at ourselves to say autonomously, what do we think should happen? Mm-hmm. I want to say, if you look to the word of God, God has defined in his law what ought to take place for unjustified taking of human life. And it is in fact the death penalty. And I'm not ashamed of that, Kwaku, because it's not my words. It's God's word.
Yeah, so he accuses you of being immoral. Like, I would ask Kwaku, what is your standard of morality?
Right.
But we shall
play some more of that.
Yeah, go on.
Abortion should be easily accessible, except for the cases of rape, incest, or the risk of a mother's life.
Stop. Okay, so what Kwaku is spilling out here now is the common cultural argumentation against the banning or abolishing of abortion. And I want you to just hopefully get educated here, Kwaku, and I mean this respectfully to you. Less than 2% of abortions that take place in the United States take place because of rape, incest, or life of the mother. And to actually address your arguments, Kwaku, they're very poor arguments. And I'm surprised to hear a Mormon making them, to be quite honest with you, considering what Mormons believe about children and spirit children and all those things. I think that this is inconsistent with your own theological presuppositions. Let's deal with the argumentation. You brought it up, so let's do it. Rape. So you believe that it's appropriate to actually punish the child of a criminal. So a criminal does something evil and wicked, and you believe that it's appropriate to kill the child for the crime of the mm-hmm. father. I disagree. The next thing is that you think that incest is a situation where we should kill the child. I'm going to just tell you right now that I grew up with friends who were the product of incest, and I don't think that we should kill them.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that they would tell you themselves, I don't think my mother should have killed me. So I don't believe that we should kill children whose parents have done evil things or made mistakes. And I think that, as I saw one beautiful black man saying recently, I am not the residue of a rapist.
Mm.
I am my mother's son.
That's good.
And I think that when you look at the common cultural bad arguments for abortion that, Kwaku, you've adopted, I think that they are poor, they are illogical, they are insane. We should not kill children because they have Down syndrome, right? Oh, this child's going to have health problems, so murder them. I think that that is an inconsistent position. And again, I'm surprised I'm actually hearing someone who's a Latter-day Saint making that claim. And finally, I'll say life of the mother. Many doctors will demonstrate today scientifically and through medicine that the cases in which we have the life of the mother truly at risk because of a child are so slim and almost non-existent. It is a very poor argument. And in any case, if you did have a case of a mother whose life was truly in danger because of the presence of the child, generally speaking, and this happened with my wife and my twins, the children die in the womb before there's even something you have to consider in terms of the life of the mother. And even when there is an issue where the life of the mother is truly in danger, what you're talking about there is a rescue operation, mm-hmm. not an abortion.
Right, exactly.
You're talking about a mother and a child hanging off a cliff in a car, and you've got a moment to save one of them. That's not the decision to simply say we should be able to murder our children.
Right.
That's a moral dilemma of saying it's a rescue operation. This isn't about killing a child. It's about rescuing
That's
a human.
Good. Right.
That's the issue. And what you need to know is, Kwaku, your arguments are very old, very poor, and long been refuted. Less than 2% are because of rape, incest, or life of the mother, your arguments are just poor. And the reason they're poor is because you're not grounded in the word of the living God. You're not getting your position from scripture. You've gotten your arguments from culture.
Yep.
And I reject that.
Yep. Okay, continuing.
The position that the majority of Christians in America
That's hold. Wrong.
This is incorrect. Not, and this is not a super liberal position. In fact, this is a rather conservative position that I have. Most Christians have this position. One of the reasons I have this position is because I'm from Houston, Texas.
That's a fallacy. Most Christians believe this, therefore it's true. Therefore, right. you ought to buy it.
Yeah. There are a lot of Christians that honestly, they don't even know what the crucifixion was for.
Right.
They don't even understand. I grew up in church and I didn't know that I was sinful. I thought I was good.
Right.
Yeah. And I grew up in church. I went more days of my life probably than I didn't go.
Right.
And I didn't know that.
Right.
So does that mean that I am a good person?
Right.
It's not a might equals right situation
right.
here.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
The fallacy here, and this is any logic textbook would teach you this. This is a fallacious form of argumentation saying most Christians believe this. Well, if you're trying to argue that this is an appropriate or right or just position, then you shouldn't base it on what most people believe. You should be going to the core of the argumentation as to why it makes sense. And so I want to say that it's important for us to talk about what does the Bible say? Because you're condemning me as a Christian minister, a minister of the gospel, for believing that mothers and fathers who murder their children ought to be punished with the death penalty. Now, I'm not saying retroactively go back in time. I'm saying justice in society would demand that actually we uphold justice for the preborn children. Justice is something that God is concerned with, which, by the way, in Psalm 82 is what God is dealing with there. He's dealing with human judges who will not uphold justice. And he says, you will die like men, you unjust judges. Kwaku thinks that that's talking about a council of gods. How is a council of exalted, perfected beings being told they're going to be killed by God? Just goes to show that Kwaku, I don't even know if you've actually studied or unpacked that passage. In Psalm 82, this is clearly God confronting the unjust judges of Israel who are supposed to act in God's place and uphold justice. How does that relate to this issue? Justice matters to God. It matters to God, and he condemns the unjust judges of Israel for not upholding justice. Not upholding justice. By the way, there's no table there in Psalm 82. No table whatsoever. And it's God talking to unjust judges, Kwaku. Very simply understood, only 8 verses. Next.
Okay, so to finish this.
And is this more about me, though?
I bumped it, so I apologize. I lost the spot. But we can just talk about it, because...
Okay. Can I just throw it out there?
Just or go did for you? It.
Okay.
I lost the spot.
So I guess at a certain point here, Kwaku basically pulls up a site.
It's like right after this.
Yeah, so yeah, pulls up a site it. On Google and says, in terms of trying to attack my moral character, says something about 11 felony records and something like that. Something to the effect mm-hmm. of 11 yeah, felonies 11. And, yeah. and public records. Just so you know, I have never been arrested, except when I was 11. Again, I was arrested for a couple of hours because when I was 11, I shoplifted a pocket knife from the base BX in Japan. And then I got home and I took a beating for it. and so I've never been in cuffs, never been in jail, although I foresee that on my horizon with where we're going in our culture and our ministry in the area of abortion mill and all the rest. And so I just want to say also, it's a very poor form of argumentation because, again, Kwaku, I'm much worse than you think. And if you want to know my history as to what God has saved me from, drug addiction and all the rest, we can talk about that. And I have public videos about that. Let me just say this. Jesus is a much better savior than I am a sinner. And God has saved me, a sinner, and I'm a wretch. I'm awful. I'm much worse than you think. And praise God for the cross and what God has done in Christ. But your attempt here to go to a random website to talk about public records and felonies, I've never been arrested.
This is not true. It's not reliable.
It's just not true.
In many, many cases, those websites put that stuff, they're very vague, and they suggest that maybe there's something, and it's to pique your curiosity
so
and
that
encourage
you
to purchase
right. so that you purchase
the record.
So tell, because you went to that same site.
I went to the site itself, and I looked, and I was like, oh, it does say, like, he may have. And so I clicked on it. It ran this thing for, like, 5 whole minutes, and then it said, you can purchase one of these deals. And then when it showed it, it said he has won something, and it could possibly be a ticket.
Yeah.
And to that I say, yeah, I have had a ticket.
Yeah.
I've gotten out of more tickets. Then
yeah.
So, actually, hang on a second. When I say I wasn't arrested, been in jail, One time I was taken because of a ticket straight to court,
right,
and they let me go.
Right.
And so if that's what you mean, it just dawned on me. Maybe that's a ticket it's talking about.
Right.
Because it said, yeah, he might have a ticket. I was taken.
Well, it certainly doesn't add up to one felony, much less 11 felonies.
I was going kind of fast.
If you're
going
to try to expose someone, at least do a good job.
I just dawned on me. That's probably the ticket.
If you're going to be an investigative journalist and you're going to cancel people and expose people, get real information.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He accuses us of being like unethical in our journalistic abilities and you know, and it's like, if you decide he pulls up, and again, I apologize, I bumped it, but like, you know, it's good. You as the president of a company that you started like 15 years ago that doesn't even exist anymore, you know, and they said you don't even live in Mesa, you know, and it's like,
well,
come
and
on,
certainly
man, you can't, it's just nonsense.
Well, so first of all, it's bad investigation. It's not even an attempt to find I guess you could categorize it as not a total lie, but it's lazy truth telling,
right?
If you want to go there. And then also, as you said, there are many situations, I'm sure, that if you had a glimpse into the lives of many people, of pretty much anyone that you know, there would be a further explanation. And certainly there's the grace of God. That, you know, some people that have 11 felonies, they were once that person, and they're not that person anymore.
And I have
but
friends.
I'm not, I don't even need to defend Jeff's 11 felonies because they don't exist.
Yes.
And a very simple click, like the least amount of effort you could possibly put into this investigation could have showed you that you don't have 11 felonies.
And
so that's the point, is that it's the tiniest amount of effort went into that.
And like I said, sorry, forgive me, it just dawned on me, I did get taken to court for speeding, and then they dropped everything,
but
and I had to pay like a minimal fine for going too fast.
Right.
Which I was going too fast.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the point is,
I was 18, by the way, when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the point 19. Is, in 52 minutes, in an attempt of trying to discredit you, your integrity, and our integrity, our morality, you have only shown Kwaku your inability to have integrity, and to continue to promulgate lies that you know are not true, that we have evidence of, that we can easily produce. So that's the gist of this whole conversation.
That's right. And so
and again, we didn't even touch, we just barely touched the conversation,
barely scratched it, but we thought what would be beneficial to the audience is for you just to see a couple of points, just to touch those points, to show you that Kwaku just doesn't have integrity in these areas. When he's talking about these things, he makes it very personal, and even when he makes it personal, he doesn't tell the truth. And so what we want to say is, Kwaku, raise your standards, allow it to be about the theology. That's where the discussion rests for us. That's where we've wanted it to rest. Let's make it a question between Mormon theology and biblical theology. Let's let it rest there. I am convinced that after our episode we did, where we demonstrated that you misrepresent historic Christian theology, you ought to have responded to the substance of what we said there, rather than make this as personal as you did and to engage in the slander and false witness that you did. I'd encourage you again to raise your standards and to do it as quickly as possible, because this stuff, you know, it doesn't go away. Kwaku, it stays on the internet, and unless you take it down, it's going to be up there. Other people are going to download it. They're going to share it. There's a record of your false witness, and I think that you're responsible for that, ultimately, not just to me, before God. And so, again, I would encourage you to raise your standards. So, thank you guys for watching Apologia Radio and hanging with a very long episode today. I'm Jeff, they call me the Ninja. That's Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
And that's Joy the Girl.
See ya.
We'll catch you guys next time right here.